Our next news piece is literally hot off the press.
So first, I would like to thank the organizers for their kind invitation to speak at this special roundtable about women in maritime archaeology.
The University of Helsinki has been running a seminar series called Global Conversations in Maritime Archaeology, Down by the Water. And in this special round table, my colleague, Dr. Lucy Saman, is talking about women in maritime archaeology.
So as women, the struggles of my invitees today are added to the challenges that they face by being non-Western women or women of color or women from the global South.
I've been always told that I shouldn't dare doing a job that is for men.
There's this fear of, you know, this really grounded fear in terms of like thinking about what's going to happen if you go on maternity leave, come back, is everything, are you still going to have your job?
I've seen people say, leave this to men, go to the kitchen, have kids. I've seen men exclude women because they have a voice. They speak up for their rights, not because of their qualifications.
As a woman, you're raised to believe that there are things that you will never achieve because it's like, it's not your place. And that was my reality.
As the seminar was advertised, it was four different women with four different stories. And Lucy, you were hosting this seminar. You made some very specific selections in terms of the people, the ladies that you interviewed. What was the rationale for that?
The first thing that these my guest speakers told me, why me? Like, why me? I have nothing to say. I have nothing to prove. But I simply said, because you are colleagues of mine, your voice, I think that their voices are not heard much as women of color, as women of the Middle East, as women from the Arab world, as women from the global South, call it what you want. It's basically, I don't like this division, but somehow we have to still use it, unfortunately, because there is still this divide between Western, non-Western, global North, global South. But I believe that it was both for me a personal choice, because I have worked with these women. I know them at a personal level and as in a professional capacity. But also I felt that their stories need to be heard, because they will inspire, and I was sure of that, they will inspire a lot of younger female maritime archaeologists that are just looking into getting into this field and either for, you know, study or in practice or getting trained, learning how to dive, learning how to practice archaeology underwater. So these women were not just an inspiration for me, but I think that because I learned a lot from them, but I was sure that they would inspire other women as well, coming from non-Western backgrounds and having a lot to struggle with, much more than we actually think.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that was really interesting, because obviously, being a woman myself, I've had to face quite a lot of the challenges, particularly earlier on in my career when you're sort of somewhat invisible at times. And but actually, it was really inspiring to think about that perspective. You know, a lot of the things that were being discussed, beside the sort of financial challenges, was which we, you know, it can be any gender. But I think one of the really interesting things was, you know, this whole idea that maritime archaeology isn't really available in many of the countries that that your speakers came from, that they had to travel, they had to sort of engage with new cultures, they had to learn new languages in some cases, or at least, yeah. But I mean, that was really like, whoa, I hadn't really thought about that. I mean, obviously, but not in terms of my own experience. But I guess that's also something that could be of either, you know, or any gender, should we say. I think there were some more specific things that really came out of the discussion that really honed in on those specific challenges of being a woman in many roles, but in maritime archaeology in particular. Which particular things do you think rang true to you listening to your colleagues?
Looking at it in general terms, you would think that, you know, what would a woman from Latin America have anything in common with a woman in maritime practicing maritime archaeology from the Arab world? But we found out that, you know, across crossing these cultural bridges or gaps, well, we had probably the same struggles or the same challenges that we had to overcome. The fact that by being women in a largely patriarchal societies still, it's not like we are beaten every day, or it's nothing melodramatic, but it's still sometimes a very nuanced discrimination that we go through, such as the simple fact that when I'm on a project or organizing a project, and I gave that example in the talk, and when I'm with a male colleague, the person addresses the male colleague and does not address me. And then the male colleague has to say, to point at me and say, well, she's the boss, you have to talk to her. And then you would see the person's, it's quite funny, the person's reaction, like their eyes just go like, whoop, and they're quite surprised. And you're like, yeah, that's me. Or people when you're doing deals, because there's a lot of negotiation that goes into the practice of maritime archaeology. Learning maritime archaeology at university does not prepare you for life in the field. It does, in a way. But when you are in the field and you're negotiating with a fisherman how to, the price for a fluke hire or a fishing boat hire, you know, they always tend to get on their high horses because as strong males, this is what they were taught. And I always think that if I was a male speaker or a male director, would I have been treated with the same, would I have been given the same treatment as if I was a woman? I had people scream at me on the phone. I had people get on their high horses. I had people telling me in debates and round tables, oh, so you are the diver, and doing that with their hands, sort of in a dismissive way. They wave their hand at you if you're some of an extra prop that is brought on the set in a meeting. So these were more common than I thought, actually. These experiences were more common than I thought, being women from the Arab world or from Latin America specifically. Perhaps women from the Western world also experience these issues. And I would like to actually bring the debate one day to just, not have this division anymore, Western, non-Western, global South, global North, or even a gender divide. But unfortunately, we live in a world that puts us in these sort of square definitions, and we have to abide by them and fight as much as we can to make our narratives heard and our voices heard.
No, absolutely. I mean, I think one thing that was really interesting that I was thinking about when listening to this was you touched on it, was the sort of field-related aspects. And some of our colleagues were talking about, you know, that work-life balance and making decisions about when you have family. And it's, obviously all families go through this. You make decisions about who's going to be the person looking after children. And nowadays, particularly when you have to bring in money from any direction, every direction. But I think being in the field, and I was thinking also, you know, when I started my career, I did a lot of land terrestrial archaeology, and people would bring their kids with them. But actually going onto boats and, you know, being in the middle of the sea and having equipment around you and diving, that's really quite hard. It's a big challenge. And one of the things that really came across was that point at which you make decisions, you know, is it going to inhibit my publications? Is it going to stop me going from field work? There were some really interesting things that came up out of that. I'm wondering if you think it's changed much during your career. Do you see things more positively in that respect? I mean, obviously more women are taking the lead, more, not as many as we'd like, but
I think that I can only speak from my experience in maritime archaeology being from Lebanon and working in the region. Around me, growing up and building, when I was building my career, and I'm still doing that, I had a lot of female role models around me, really. So I had a lot of aspiring women to look up to, because there is a lot of really strong female figures in archaeology in Lebanon that are driving the field forward, that are supporting students. We heard Crystal say how she was supported by her mentor at the American University of AUB, who was a female professor. I myself, as you know, I was supported for a very long time by another strong female figure in archaeology in Lebanon. And then I was inspired by you before knowing you. I was inspired by you before meeting you as a female lead role model in maritime archaeology abroad, because we did not, 15 years ago when I first did my master's in maritime archaeology at the University of Southampton, there was absolutely no educational program in Lebanon for maritime archaeology. And this has changed. Why? Because you and the Honor Frost Foundation supported the American University of Beirut with the minor in marine sciences and culture, which is the first educational program, academic program of its kind in maritime archaeology. So things are changing, yes, but because we are active agents of this change, we are not just, us poor women, we are striving to make things better. No, we go out there, we do the job, and we do a great job. And I was helped. The reason why I am here today is because I had an amazing team behind me. I didn't get to where I was. I didn't do these projects by myself. I didn't succeed in these projects by myself. But I did it because I had a wonderful team. And I always find the balance between male and females in my team. And I have to say, I was lucky enough that my female students and my female mentees looked up to the female specialists and the older generation, and they were able to confide in them on the side on a personal basis. And I know very much that many of them are still in contact, and I'm very happy and proud to say that we are creating this network for younger inspiring women to feel safe and to feel that this is a safe space, that they can be vulnerable if they wanted to. They can say, you know what, today my mental health is not allowing me to work, and that is totally fine, because we know that this is part of life. We don't put high expectations because we're human, and we have psychological issues, financial issues, health issues, and I think that we need to be a bit more inclusive of all these human aspects in practicing maritime archaeology, whether we're female or male or non-binary people.
I think this is a really inspirational session that really sort of touched at what's core to, you know, it's a big challenge developing a career, especially when you have to move house, leave culture, be a woman. And I think that was a really, really inspiring session. So thank you very, very much for having such a brilliant idea. And thank you to the University of Helsinki for hosting it. And thank you to our speakers. They were fab.
Oh, yes, they were. They were. They were fabulous. And I thank them for their generosity. And I think at first they were a bit reluctant because they had a lot of self-doubt, because they thought that, I don't have anything to say. Why? What am I going to say? And then, 2 hours through the webinar, and we didn't touch upon all the subjects that we wanted to talk about.
Well, that was amazing. Thank you so much, Lucy. I really enjoyed that discussion. I think it's really important that we get our voices as women in maritime archaeology out there. I am Dr. Lucy Blue, and this is another in our Dive and Dig news piece podcast series. This is brought to you from the Honor Frost Foundation, a charity that supports the development of maritime archaeology in the Eastern Mediterranean. I hope you'll join us again next time, but in the meantime, I'll leave you with my colleague, Dr. Lucy Simman. Thanks for listening.
We need more representation and we need more visibility because we are an active agent of society as women, and we need to be perceived as such.